The first scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11, 12, 20 through 22 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights, in the desert towards my poor people, not to anoint or cleanse. A wind is too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked to the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins, before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus the Lord says, the whole land shall be desolation, yet it will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I will not relent, nor will I turn back. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to him to listen to him, meaning Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them a parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm one of those people who does not like to ask for directions. In fact, sometimes I enjoy getting lost because the adventure is finding where you're going. Now, of course, this drives my wife crazy. But we somehow make it. And the reason we can make it now is because we have a GPS. And I find GPSs to be a mixed blessing. Certainly they offer you directions to how you're getting to where you want to go, but they can also tell you if there's heavy traffic ahead and if maybe an alternative route might be the best thing to do. And then sometimes it'll tell you that there's police reported ahead, so you know whether you need to slow down or not. But they can be frustrating too. Our first GPS we had, we got shortly after we moved here. And it was one of those, wasn't in the phone, it was one of those you put on the dashboard. And the crazy thing about this one was, whenever we wanted to go to Wilmington or to Philadelphia, it wanted us to cross the Bay Bridge, go into Baltimore, and then I-95 north. Well, we knew better than that. So we would go out 50, we turn on 213, and the GPS would suggest to us, when possible, make a legal U-turn. Well, we knew not to do that, so we continued on, and as we got close to 301, it would tell us, you want to turn left and head south. Well, we knew we didn't want to do that either. So we would turn right and north and start heading up. And after a couple of miles, the GPS caught on. And it rewarded us by dropping about 2 hours off our estimated time of arrival. I have to travel to Dover fairly often for presbytery meetings, committees that I'm on, and such. And here is where I have the love-hate relationship with the GPS. It cannot make up its mind which way to take me. It has like 3 or 4 different ways it wants to take me. And it does this so that I'll never learn on my own how to get there. And the crazy thing is, it'll take me one way and bring me home a totally different way. And then the last time I went, it really went bonkers on me. I'm traveling along and it says in 12 miles you are to turn right on such and such a road. I'm saying, okay, I got that. About 2 minutes later it says in 1 mile you need to turn left. And it's like, well, what happened to the left turn? I didn't drive that fast. I'm not past it. So I turn left. And then it kind of says, what did you do that for? You know, that's a crazy way to go. So it starts trying to find me another way back. Meanwhile, the estimated time of arrival is getting later. And it doesn't do this once, but it does it like 3 times. It sends me on these wild goose chases. Finally, I hit Route 13, a road I recognize. I know how to get to Dover from here. And it says, turn right, go south. And I'm thinking, how in the world did this GPS get me north of Dover? But it is the GPS. It knows best. I turn right. And shortly after that, 2 or 3 miles down the road, I realize I'm not north of Dover. I am south of Dover. And I'm ready to pitch the GPS. I arrive at my meeting 30 minutes late. I arrive not really in a mood to participate in the meeting. I'm pretty upset with the GPS. So why do I tell you this story? There's something about getting lost. And in our story today, we have objects that are lost. We have a sheep. We have a coin in our gospel lesson. In the epistle reading, we have a person. All of them are lost, but then they're found. In the sheep story, the shepherd has lost one, or one of the sheep has decided to wander off. I don't think the sheep necessarily did this intentionally, trying to get lost, but it just happened. It wanders off and all of a sudden it's missing. My guess is the sheep didn't even know it was lost, but the shepherd did. And so the shepherd leaves the 99, which seems crazy to me, but leaves the 99 to go after the one. We're not told that this particular one was significantly different or more valuable or more special than the 99. We're only told that it was lost. And the shepherd was going to search for it until he found it. And once he found it, he takes it back to the 99. And when he gets home, he calls his neighbors and his friends and say, you got to rejoice with me. You got to party with me. My sheep was lost and I found it. And then we have the woman and the coin. And I read one place where the person thought maybe the coin was part of a necklace, and that her husband had given that to them when they were married. It was kind of like a wedding ring. But the necklace is broken, and one of the coins has fallen, and now it is lost. And the woman searches high and low until she finds it. And once she finds it, she rejoices, calls her neighbors and friends, and says, "You got to celebrate with me. The coin was lost, but now it's found." Now, I'm suggesting to you that neither the sheep nor the coin knew that it was lost. Certainly the coin didn't know. It's an innate object. But what is that Jesus is emphasizing is that that what was lost was valuable, and the person that was valuable to hunted for it until they found it. To understand this better, we need to understand the context in which Jesus tells these parables. As we read, he was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. They sought Jesus out. They liked him, and they wanted to learn from him. But the Pharisees, the religious people, you can't do that. You can't hang out with these type of people. Don't you know that bad company corrupts good character? We've heard that before. Of course we've heard it. It's in the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote it. We'll get to him in a little bit. But Jesus doesn't seem to be concerned that these tax collectors and sinners are going to corrupt his character. In fact, I think he sees it the other way around. He's going to corrupt their character. He's going to transform that bad character into good character. These people are lost, and he's searching for them and finding them and leading them to the right ways. And the same with the coin. Jesus says, I'm like this woman. I'm going to search till I find it. Then we go to the epistle reading, 1 Timothy. And we have Paul. If you had asked Paul before his conversion if he was lost, he would have laughed in your face. I'm not lost. I'm a Pharisee. I strictly follow the law. I do the right thing. I don't sin. But then, and he would continue to say, and I am serving God by going around and arresting and persecuting these followers of Jesus, these ones that are corrupting our religion. I got to get rid of them. So he would have said, no, I'm not lost. But then on that road to Damascus, he has this bright light that shines out, and he has this vision of the risen Jesus speaking to him, saying, why are you doing all this, Paul? And Paul is found. The Apostle Paul now recognizes that he was indeed lost. And we read in the passage today, he even considered himself the worst of sinners because he had persecuted the church. He had done violence against the church whom God had founded. And now he is part of that church. Lost, not even recognizing that you're lost. Being found and being brought back to the fold, being brought back to where you are to be. If we read further in the gospel lesson, there are actually three stories that Jesus told to the Pharisees when they complained about him being with tax collectors and sinners. And the third one you're familiar with, I'm sure, is the parable of the prodigal son. But it's the story of two lost sons. Of course, we know the younger son who demanded his inheritance before his father was even dead. We know that he went out and squandered it all. And he recognized he was lost. He wasn't trying to be found, though. He was just trying to survive. And so he was going to go back to his father and beg and plead not to be restored to the family. There was no hope of that. But just to be hired by his father to work as one of his employees so at least he could eat. But the father was watching, waiting for the day when that son would come back. And when he sees him, he runs out to him with open arms and receives him back into the family. He is now found. The father even said, my son was lost, and now he's found. Now, it's easy to associate the younger son with the tax collectors and the sinners. But the point Jesus is really wanting to make is the lost older son who comes back from working in the field, sees the party going on, and finds out that it's because his younger brother had returned and he wants nothing to do with it. And the father goes out and begs him to come in, but the older son disrespects his father. The older son just basically pushes his father away. He is lost, and he doesn't even recognize it. Jesus leaves this story open-ended. We're not told whether that older son comes into the party or not. And the reason is because the Pharisees are that older brother. And he's telling them that they're lost and that they need to be found. Will they allow themselves to be found? We are saved by God's grace. We are not, when we're lost, we're not necessarily looking to be found, but God is searching us for us, wanting to find us. And it is by God's grace that we are found. You've heard said that when someone who was particularly a bad person has a conversion experience, we say they found God. Well, I would suggest it's just the opposite, that God found that person. And God is in the midst of changing that person. And when we are found, that's really just the beginning. Because God calls us to be his people in this place and at this time. God calls us to serve him. He called Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to be the messenger, to take the good news of Jesus out to people that the Jews would have never thought to inviting in. To go out and find these lost people and invite them to the party. I started off with my GPS story. I view the church like a GPS. The church is to help us to know where we need to go. What is our final destination? And how is the best way to get there? And what pitfalls might there be along the way that we need to avoid? And it's in the church that we encourage one another and we love and care for one another and we teach one another what it means to be a follower of Christ. And like my GPS, there are sometimes frustrations with the church. Sometimes the church leads us maybe down the wrong path for a little while. But we're able to come back together and keep our eyes focused on the destination. Last week I spoke with you about getting involved in the life of the church, that we need everybody to be involved in growing as disciples of Jesus, so participating in Christian education so that our faith might develop and it might grow, but also getting active in ministries of the church, helping with the worship, helping with the building or teaching a class or all kinds of different ways. We had a thing, and several of you filled out slips in ways you'd like to get involved, and that's great. And I want to encourage others to do that. And then there's the ministries that we're trying to do, that as together, we can do far more than we can do individually. And so we seek to follow after Jesus in serving and building up God's kingdom in our location. Once we were lost, But now we're found. We're going to sing that in just a moment from Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. But we have been found, and for this time, God has us journeying together. And so may we be that GPS helping us to find our way and to move together where God wants us to go. Amen.